Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Best Basketball Show on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host here for the series. It is Zach Kruger. You can follow on Twitter at ZK_FFB. We'll be running through pretty much everything that you need for your basketball season. Let the listeners know we're going to be running it for basically two shows a week, each Saturday and Monday. Throughout the next month or two, at least, we're hoping to hit you with between kind of 14, 15 of these shows to get you set up for success. On this edition of the show, we're going to cover elite tight end, and it's a very popular strategy across pretty much all formats when we talk about it here at RotoViz, but in terms of basketball, it can be a real kind of win rate booster in terms of what it makes your teams look like from a historical rate. One of the things I guess that we'll say on it is, like, particularly if we're talking about the FFPC and it's a tight end premium format, we'll be diving into that in a moment, it is going to be more of a boost in that format. If you're playing on one of the sites that we've mentioned previously, like an Underdog or like in a Baseball 10s, it's going to be a case where this may not be as profitable, but still really going to be an interesting strategy to wrap your mind around, just in case it isn't something that you have thought of yet. So Zach, putting you on the hot seat again, what is elite tight end from a build perspective? I think it seems self-explanatory, but again, this is probably us being in that bubble where we think everything is self-explanatory when it comes to fantasy football. What exactly is an elite tight end build?
Sure. So elite tight end build, the way I generally understand it and describe it as, is really when you're going into your draft, you're probably aiming to get what I consider to be one of the three elite tight ends on the board on your team before, you know, usually the second or third round is over. In FFPC leagues, these tight ends are usually going, they're probably gone before the middle of the second round. I think we can probably agree that those elite three tight ends right now are Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Darren Waller. So when I'm going into a build, if I'm debating doing an elite tight end strategy, which again can be beneficial because we're talking about FFPC leagues with their tight end premium scoring, if I'm looking to go that route, I will try to get one of those tight ends off the board early just so I can feel a little bit safer about what I have at the position and possibly even not have to invest as much in the tight end position as I would if I was maybe taking a tight end in the fifth or sixth round as my tight end one. Getting that elite tight end early definitely, I think, is kind of a way to just add a little bit of security to your roster as you look to add the additional positions around that player. Is that kind of how you'd be describing? Are we on the same page here?
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page. And I already mentioned the difference in the FFPC with the tight end premium versus you know, some of the other sites. But in the tight end premium formats, it is a major boost. You know, if we look at pretty much, you know, if you give 1.5 points per reception for the tight ends, we look at how that did in 2020. There's six tight ends that finished in the top 50 among wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends in the FFPC, compared to just a standard PPR format, which was just Kelce and Waller. So that is giving you a big, big boost. And when we're talking about, you know, if you draft these guys in the first two rounds, a lot of people not familiar with tight end premium formats or not familiar with how that's going to affect your possibility of winning in those formats might think that that doesn't make any sense to be taking tight ends in those positions. But when you're doing it from a perspective of tight end premium, it really does boost that. That's adding four additional tight ends to the top 50. If we're looking through those three combined positions, that is a major difference. Kelce moved from the second highest scoring player in tight end premium formats down to seventh overall in full PPR. So he's dropping down five spots based on that 0.5 extra point PPR. And then Darren Waller moved from the sixth highest scoring player down to 10th. So still scoring extremely well. Even if you're taking, you know, Darren Waller at the back end of that first round, still going to be in a place of value, and similar for Kelce if it's non tight end premium. But in tight end premium, it's going to boost those guys up a lot. So I do really, and I mentioned it already, the caveat, it is more beneficial when we're in tight end premium formats. But like, if you're talking about those guys finishing as the seventh highest scoring player and the 10th highest scoring player in PPR formats, that shows that there's also a boost there, because the tight end position can be quite volatile on a weekly basis. And a lot of the time you're hoping that you can get a touchdown to get yourself into those double digit points, where with a Kelce, with a Waller, with a Kittle, the yards after the catch, the touchdowns, the targets, the receptions, it gives them a really, really elevated floor and also a very, very high ceiling as well. So you're getting the safety at the position, but you're also getting that monster upside where a big, big week, a two touchdown, 100-yard week from somebody like Travis Kelce can really win you that week. And then, of course, the season is just made up of weeks that you want to win, so it's gonna get you there in the end. So that would be where I would be looking at it in terms of tight end premium formats and non-tight end premium formats. I just wanted to make the differentiation between the two, but still how valuable having that elite tight end can be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you talked about, real quick here, just Travis Kelce and Darren Waller in particular were the two players who we had mentioned earlier as players who had moved down a couple spots when you compare their tight end premium scoring to their just full PPR scoring. It is worth noting, Travis Kelce dropped to the seventh highest scoring player in full PPR. Darren Waller dropped down to the 10th highest scoring in full PPR. If you consider where their ADPs are, maybe this year for Kelce it's a little bit different, just because he's tending to go more in the middle of the first round. But if you look at him from last year, still an obvious value. Travis Kelce was not the seventh player coming off the board in 2020 drafts. Darren Waller was certainly not the 10th player coming off the board in drafts. So assuming that these players, even now, if they're finishing highly in overall scoring, they're going to be values. Darren Waller in particular, I think, is the one who maybe stands out a little bit more than Kelce for this year, just because Darren Waller, you're usually getting in the second round of a full PPR league. But one thing that I wanted to touch on real quick, we've been reverting back to the Roster Construction Explorer for these last couple episodes, now that we've introduced the tools to our listeners. We do see that if you draft your tight end in round one, which again is a filter that you can set, that gives us a solid 12.6% win rate, with 65.1% of these teams taking a tight end in round one finishing in the top six. So if you're still considering Kittle to be an elite tight end, which I do, then that means that you likely have a chance to draft one of Kelce, George Kittle, or Darren Waller in the first round, which could get you off to a good start if they perform as well as you would expect them to when you're drafting them this offseason. So it's just kind of a cheap way to boost your win rate a little bit, assuming that they stay healthy. And I think that, you know, starting tight end right out the gate is great for multiple reasons. Again, it gives you a chance to kind of maybe forget about the position for a little bit. And in addition to that, it really gives you one of the elite guys at the top. And we left out Hall of Famer Kyle Pitts, but maybe he even becomes there as well. We don't know yet.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So you mentioned a moment ago, you know, it is a good idea to go tight end out of the gate. So I guess we might be spoiling this a little bit, but it's a slightly different question. Is it a good idea to double tap tight end out of the gate to get two off those tight ends and really supercharge that area of your squad?
So going double tap tight end out the gate is probably one of my preferred strategies in FFPC drafts this offseason, mainly because we already go into it knowing that going one tight end can boost your 12-point win rate to 12.6% in the first round. So if we're getting the opportunity to perhaps take two of these elite tight ends early, I'm a big fan of the elite double tight end strategy. You do have to remember that for the context of the show, as we are, we're discussing FFPC drafts, which gives you one tight end spot, but two flex spots. So there are, you know, a number of ways that you can get both of these picks, these first two tight ends into your roster on a weekly basis. I think that if you're drafting two tight ends out the gate in a non-FFPC league, it gets a little bit riskier because now you don't have that second flex spot to fall back on with high scoring. You're kind of banking on having a little bit more elite weeks out of your tight ends in one flex spot league. But I think the FFPC leagues offering two flex spots gives you a good chance to make going two tight ends out of the gate a very viable option. Is that something you're looking to do ever when you're drafting, Colin?
It would be something from time to time, depending specifically on what's available at that draft spot. I haven't dipped into it too much this offseason. Obviously, Kelsey's going to go much earlier in the first round. If you're at the back end of the first round, you might get those two guys in there. You might even try and get, you know, somebody, you know, like a Mark Andrews who's tailed off, or you mentioned Hall of Famer Kyle Pitts. You might be able to get one of those guys in there. But it is something that I've played with in different formats, but I tend to stick more to the single elite version. And you made a good point there in just differentiating again for the listeners. If you're in a league, it's so important to know those settings in terms of who starts, whether that's season-long dynasty, best ball, whatever, because there's no point in drafting two tight ends if you can only start one. And if there's only one flex spot, it makes it even harder to start two, especially if you're starting off by getting those wide receivers on your roster. You're usually going to start those wide receivers over the tight end unless it is tight end premium. So just very important to go through all of those different areas. But when you look at where most of the teams are going to end up being, it's going to be the single elite tight end if I'm going that way, and that's because it's hard to get a draft spot where you can pick up two of them quite easily in that particular range. It's a little bit more tricky to do this year with the guys going in kind of the earlier back end of the first round, as maybe they haven't been in the last couple of years. We've seen guys go, you know, first tight end go off the board maybe between 6 and 9, and then the second guy in the second round, third guy in the third round, or back of the second round. So this year it's a little bit harder to do so far, but it is a strategy that we can try and employ where possible. If we add it to what we've already mentioned with the roster construction explorer, changing that tight end filter to round one and tight end two before round three, we still have a 10.1% win rate, which is fine, but the top six win rate on that goes from 65.1% overall to 66.4% overall. So for the listeners as well, when you are playing in these best ball leagues, there is some of the leagues you can go winner take all, some of them you can go for top six as well to get you kind of double your money and get back out there again. So it does increase the win rate if you're taking two tight ends in those first three rounds as well from a top six perspective.
Yeah, it's a strategy that, like you said, it's hard to sometimes employ. But when you're looking at ADPs for this year, you know, Kittle and Waller are probably going to be who you're going to be able to go tight end right out the gate with. I've been able to do it a couple times this year, just picking maybe at that 111 and 202 spot, or the 112 and the 201. At times like that, it is possible to do. But even if you're not able to do it, if you even just decide to go with that first tight end in the first round, that's still going to give you a very solid win rate to start off. And I think your team's going to be better for it in the long run, assuming, again, everyone stays healthy. But as far as going with the two tight ends goes, we see that win rate drop a little bit with back-to-back tight ends compared to just one tight end in the first round. It does fall, like you said. It drops down from 12.6% down to 10.1%. But even if the rates do drop off a little bit, starting your draft tight end is a perfectly fine strategy, especially when you play around with the roster construction score a little bit more and you apply other optimal draft tactics that we've learned over here at RotoViz, learned from the Best Ball Workshop. You can see historical win rates jump to high ranges. Bearing in mind that sometimes when you see a high win rate, it may be from a limited sample size, but that certainly doesn't mean that it's not a viable strategy or a way to go out and tackle your league.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree there. And really and truly, elite tight end is something I think that's got a lot more popular in recent times. And I do think, I think Sean Siegel has been somebody who has brought that a little bit more to the forefront. And of course, tight end premium leagues are becoming more popular. So that there also leads to more information, more data. And of course, as we're using these tools in RotoViz, that is what we're building it on, is the information and the data. So it's going to help you be able to make those decisions, make those informed decisions, and see what works for you. And again, a lot of this is about being able to adapt to the league. That's why we're not just covering one strategy and saying this is the only way to win. It's about being in your league, what player drops to you, what players are available, and then how you make those decisions and pivot off the information available at that exact point of your pick. So these hopefully are going to help you as we go through the series. As I mentioned previously, we'll be talking about zero RB, which we've already done. We're going to talk modified zero RB, quarterback position, and lots more as we get into the intricacies of the strategy in best ball. And as always, I want to finish the show by letting you know, as a RotoViz listener, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a one-year RotoViz subscription. All you have to do is add the discount code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. Of course, you can drop us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. We always appreciate those. So I want to thank my co-host here, Zach Kruger, who you can follow on Twitter at ZK_FFB. Of course, my name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And until we're back with the next episode in the series, of course, have a good one.